It's great to be with you this morning. If it is your first time, welcome. Today, my name's Ross, and along with my lovely wife, Kathy, we get to honor to lead this phenomenal church here in Tweed and also around Australia through our network of churches, INC. So it's week two in our series called Flex, which is a series about stretching, enlarging our capacity, and I think Miles would have spoken last week. You know, as we age, we tend to lose our flexibility. There's a few things about us begin to get a little bit, you feel every ache and pain. What you used to be able to get over very quickly when you were a young person now takes just a little bit longer to get over. I don't know whether you're like me. You know, I turned 50 this year, and, you know, when you get out of bed, it's that, it's like it's the biggest mountain you've climbed that day, just getting out of bed sometimes. And it's amazing over the years how you lose your flex. And Jesus spoke to the Pharisees about this. And he said, you know, new wine can't be poured into old wineskins because it loses, the old wineskin loses its ability to flex. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss what God's got for us and for me personally, simply because of my inability to stay flexible. My inability to stay moving with the times and stay current in what God is wanting to do. And as we get older, you know, the lights are a bit dark, the sound's a bit noisy, and no different to what it would have been for the Pharisees, because Jesus brought a different style. It wasn't what fitted their current thinking. And so it challenged their thinking, and they began to block everything. You know, that the church were the ones who offered TV when TV was first invented, and the church kind of thought it was the devil and said no to it, and we've been trying to get back on ever since. It's you know, it wasn't the way it was meant to be. And so that's what this series is about, staying flexible and going above and beyond. We want to highlight someone today that we've done a DVD video interview with. And Dr. Kathy Lennox is a part of this church and has just stepped out in her season of stretch to create a wellness hub for people. So it's body, soul, and spirit is the goal, to that people would be made whole in each area. So we've just highlighted a few things of her journey of late. So have a look to the screen and watch this.
I'm Kathy Lennox, and I'm a general practitioner at The Hub in Reedy Creek, which is a combined medical practice as well as a beauty salon. About a year ago, God gave me a vision of something that He wanted me to create. It was quite scary when I thought of the enormity of what He was asking me to do. I actually remember going to Haig, my husband, and asking him about this vision that God had given me, and he didn't want to borrow it. He didn't like the idea of me having to work long hours or us investing, you know, all of our money into a project where, you know, we had little experience of running something like this. But I then went to God with that and said, well, Lord, if this is from you, then you need to have, you know, my husband supporting me. And it was literally the next day that Hay came to me and said, well, if this really is from God, then this is what you need to do. Yeah, I decided to go along with it and create the hub that He put in my heart. The biggest one was fear. Just thinking about the enormity of the responsibility and the commitment, both me as a person and being a solo GP, as well as us as a family financially, what we were committing ourselves to. We didn't want to take a loan to put this place together, so we decided to invest everything that we have as a family. We just went to God and said, well, Lord, you are going to need to provide. And at every turn, whenever there was an account or an expense, I would just say, Lord, well, you need to come through. And I would turn on the computer, through internet banking, and without fail, the money was in bank. And and that's how I just knew that He was there every step of the way, faithful, right down to the last nut and bolt. Since I took that step, God has been really faithful in surrounding me with the right people to fulfill different jobs. So from our nurse, Nia, to our reception staff, as well as our beauty therapist, I know that whatever life or the enemy would throw at me, God is bigger and He's faithful. He always has been, He always will be, and He always delivers on His promises.
Fantastic. Now, great. Everyone has their stretch. And so Genesis chapter 42, verse 36 this morning. And as I read this, let me give you a little bit of context. This scripture is about Jacob. Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel who had a pretty interesting life. And he is speaking here because he's the father of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery, and then Jacob was told that Joseph had died. But Joseph then became the governor of Egypt and was in Egypt when Jacob's sons, the remaining sons, were coming to buy grain because there was a famine in the land. And so Joseph recognized the brothers, but they didn't recognize him. And so instead of selling them grain, Joseph said, well, I'm going to keep one of your brothers here as a ransom so that you bring your father to see me. And so there's a fear in the brothers. They go back and break Jacob's heart again. And then the brothers go back to Joseph again without knowing it's Joseph. And he keeps another brother there, and they're losing brothers. And you pick up this verse late in his life, and this is what he says. And Jacob, their father, said to them, "You have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And now you would take Benjamin. All this has come against me." All of Jacob's life, he'd known pressure. And he was born, the Bible says he was born to with a twin brother called Esau. And the Bible says that they came out fighting, wrestling out of the womb. And some of you people can relate to your children like that. I mean, you know, in the womb they were fighting, and they came out wrestling. And when Jacob was a young man, he deceived his father into getting the birthright instead of his brother. And because of that, his brother hated him. His brother hunted after him for years, and Jacob had to flee the family and flee the country. And it's just a sad, sad story. And Jacob then goes works for a guy called Laban, and he's working for Laban in a way to earn the right to marry Laban's daughter, Rachel. Bible says Rachel was beautiful and form and appearance, and Jacob wanted her. So he worked for several years for Laban, got to marry Rachel, and on their wedding night, goes to bed with Rachel, wakes up in the morning with the other sister, Leah, laying beside him. And the Bible said about her, I mean, Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Leah, all the Bible said was she had poor eyesight, and which some people say was conjunctivitis. So he goes to bed with beautiful and form and appearance, wakes up with pus eyes beside him in the morning. And so ripped off. I mean, the guy just knows this turmoil in his life. And then he works another several years for Laban to earn the right of Rachel again to marry her. And then his wives die. And here he is, an old man, looking back on his life and not knowing that his sons are actually alive and in Egypt, but thinking that everyone's dead. And he says, all of this has come against me. I don't know whether you ever looked at someone's life and from the appearance, you like what you see. And you think, man, I'd like their life. I like the way they dress. I like the way the car they drive. I like their family. But what we don't understand, behind every look of glory, there's always a story. And it's easy to look at someone's life and go, well, I want what they've got, but not realize what they've had to walk through to get what they've got. And so this morning, what I want to do is that I want to talk to you on a subject called resistance training. Because if we're going to grow bigger, the only way God can grow you and I bigger is through a word called pressure. It's not a word that we like. It's not a word that we embrace. We don't wake up going, oh, yippee, pressure day. But pressure is what God uses to bring out what God has placed in our lives and that only He can bring out. Pressure or resistance training is what God uses. Now, I've discovered that God has a gymnasium. And everyone that subscribes to Christianity and says that, you know, at one time I'm going to be a follower of Christ, without you knowing it, you have a silent membership in God's health club. And so when you know, that night, that morning that you put up your hand and someone said, you want to know Jesus? And you went, yeah, well, I want to know Jesus, you know, and you innocently put up your hand, you didn't realize that decision was actually also a subscription to a gymnasium where God was going to put you in and stretch you and grow you by adding pressure around your life. Now, I know that I'm speaking to people that are feeling pressure today. I'm speaking to people that are walking through pressure today, and maybe like me, you feel like you enter seasons in your life that no matter what, I mean, it's just like no matter where you look, you're getting slapped or punched in the face. It's like there's just pressure everywhere. Every which way you turn, there's pressure. You go to work, there's pressure. You jump in your car on the highway, there's people that are pressured. You get home, you meet a wife who's pressured, kids who are pressured. You turn on the TV, there's news reports of a world that's pressured. Pressure is everywhere. And whether you're rich or poor, black or white, big or small, life is a workout. And you will be tried in places that you never asked for. But I know this, in Romans 8:28, God promises that only God can do this, that he can turn out for good in every person's life, for those that love God and are called according to his purposes, that only God can turn everything around for good. And so whatever your pressure is this morning, wherever it's coming from, it could be coming from a form of ungodliness or unrighteousness somewhere around you, an unrighteous boss or something in your marriage, wherever it's coming, it may be a healthy pressure, it may be an unhealthy pressure. I believe this, that God can turn it around and he can use it in your life and my life to create what he wants in us for our lives. He didn't say that all things will look good. He didn't say that all things will be feeling good, seem good. He said that all things will turn around for good. And we've got to believe that. And so when we go to a gym and you sign up and you go to a gymnasium and you see the man mountain on his bench press, you see the woman mountain for that, you know, on her lat pulled down, and there's people working out there. You see the person with the huge legs, and they just go chest to chin, no neck, and you know they're obviously on the juice somewhere, and they're just, you know, they've got huge biceps and they're just, you know, spit coming out of their lifting weights, and that's just the women in there, and they're just, man, and you look at them and go, wow, I wish I had what they've got. I mean, man, they look fantastic. I wish I had legs. I wish I had biceps like that. I wish my neck disappeared into my spine like that. I wish I had what they've got. But here's the thing. When you and I are born, we're all born with approximately 650 muscles. So your 650 muscles are the same as Goliath's 650 muscles that's in the gym. Man Mountain has 650. You have 650. And yet we look at Man Mountain and say, oh, gee, I wish I had what he's got. The only difference between your 650 and his 650 is resistance training. That's why he looks the way he looks and we look the way we look. Resistance training. Pressure. Applied in the right places, the correct way, produces these muscles. So in your life and in my life, and Jesus talked about this in the Bible when he said there are people of great faith and there's people of little faith. And somewhere I think we get this thinking that it's almost like God just blessed some people with a lot of faith and some other people didn't get a lot of faith. So, you know, bummer for those people. But for those that got a lot of faith, man, that is awesome that you got so much faith. But for those that didn't get all the faith, oh, well, I'll just go through my life and see what happens. But in Romans chapter 12, the Bible says this, is that God has delivered each person the measure of faith. So when you and I were born again, that God poured into our life the measure of faith. Faith was poured into our life. And the only difference between little faith And great faith is resistance training. Is that when we're little faith, we go through pressure and resistance to grow our faith to become great faith people. That's the only difference. It's not that God liked this person more than this person. It's not that God just favored one person over another person. So when you meet someone that may have a little bit of glory about them, chances are their story is that somewhere they've had to exercise their faith. And they've had to fight a battle that you probably don't know about. And they've had to walk through some stuff that you probably don't know about. And now their faith has expanded. Just like man mountains in the gym, there's a greater capacity. There's a stretch of their faith muscle that they underwent. And I believe in this place that there are great faith people. But the good news is that even if you feel of little faith, the Bible still says enough faith the size of a mustard seed is enough to move a mountain. So even if we're feeling little faith or great faith, it doesn't matter where we are on the scale, God can still use us. But understand, it's His gymnasium. It's when we sign up and say, hey, God, I want to stretch a little bit. I want to go beyond where I'm at. That God will use a process called resistance training. And He will sign you up. And all of a sudden, you find yourself down on the floor and you're praying more and you're doing more. You're trying to keep up with all the kids. You're trying to keep your marriage together. You've got your business going. You've got your health life. You've got your education. You've got your sporting career. You've got your hobby. You've got your friendship, you've got your small group, the church support, financial giving, all these things as sweat begins to fall from my face.
Is Dr. Kathy here this morning?
And what God does, He puts us in His gym and He says, okay, now I want to stretch you a little bit. I want to grow you a bit. And so I'm going to give you a word called pressure. Now, most of us living a life of pressure, we think this, oh, when the pressure's off, I'm going to be so happy. We all say it. When the pressure's off, I'm going to be able to do so much more. I'm still waiting for that day and I'm 50. When the pressure is off, I can do so much more. I'll be too old to do so much more. So I think what we've got to start understanding is that pressure is God's gym. And like any person who's wanting to grow their body or their physique in any way, you are there regularly. So I've come to learn that pressure is a part of our life. And we've got to understand that God isn't, it's not like God wants us to escape from it. He needs to teach us on how to grow through it and work with it and understand that through seasons of pressure that God sees something inside of you that He's trying to shape, He's trying to bring to the surface, and the only way to get it out is pressure. So next time you're about to say, I'll be so glad when the pressure's off, just think for a moment. Because maybe in this season, God sees something in you that you quite can't see at this moment. So I'm going to share a story in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. About the Apostle Paul. And I love this story because it's Paul's way, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, of encouraging us with what he's going through. Basically, what he's saying is you don't need another wife, you just need to work out. You don't need another dream, you just need to work out. You don't need another church, you just need to work out a little bit more. Because the issue is our faith needs a fight. And I know we hate hearing that, but our faith needs a fight. Because when you're wrestling in your faith and when there's pressure around and you're pushing back against it, it develops us. It shapes our life. So no more shrinking back. Understand that God is doing something in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 says this. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. I read that and I see a man under pressure. Pressure to look perfect, pressure to stay pure, pressure to get one more sale, pressure to balance family, pressure from children. So let me give you this morning, in the moments we've got left, five things to remember if you're under pressure this morning. Number one is this: face the facts, don't focus on them. I love the way Paul says it. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. Here's Paul, the great apostle. He steps up. He's going to write something to the church in Corinth. What does he tell them? I want to let you all know how much I suffered. I want to let you know the deep affliction. I don't want you to be unaware. I want you all to know I'm feeling pressure. I'm under the pump. It's funny when we come to church, or not just church, probably when we're in our social gatherings, how society has taught us, culture's taught us to always have the face, you know, always have the smile, the, hey, I've got all things together. Me and God, you know, things are going great. And, you know, we do the walk from the car park to here as if, you know, if we're any more spiritual, we'd float in the building. It's everything's just so together. And but the thing is, we know what's going on the inside. We know the turmoil, we know the pressure, and we often feel like, well, I shouldn't share this with anyone because people see that as weakness and I don't want to seem weak. And yet Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lived, his opening words are, I don't want you to miss out on seeing how much I suffered in Asia. I want to let you know that I was under the pump. Paul wasn't trying to avoid it. He wasn't trying to make out that it doesn't happen. It's real. Pressure is real. Avoidance doesn't help. I know this by personal experience because all the cars in our family are in my name. So Kathy's old Suzuki that we had, when I gave it to Tara, we gave it to Tara, it was still in my name. Jaden's car was in my name. Kathy's car's in my name. My car's in my name. So every week without fail, in the mail, there are greetings letters from the police force. Photographs. They take so much time. They like me so much, they photograph me. Now, I want to let you know, I haven't been fined for probably 5 years, and yet I got a letter 3 weeks ago warning me my license is about to be suspended because of a lack of points. What I discovered was my son thinks that putting a speeding fine, red light camera fine, illegal parking fine, whatever else I could add to the list, in the drawer magically fixes it. So if you leave it there, somehow in there, there's an ability for it to pay itself. But you and I know the longer you leave it there, the bigger your fine becomes. So what was a $300 fine is now a $500 fine. And he's on his P's, so he can't lose any more points. Kathy's taken some. Tara's taken some. And this morning, we're not leaving till some of you take some. That's the deal here this morning. It's a bit like that in hearing Paul. Sometimes we think, you know what, no one wants to know. No, I shouldn't show it. And yet Paul, the great apostle, says, you know what, I'm under the pump right now. And I want to let some of us know this morning to take the pressure off. It's okay to be under the pump. And it's okay to tell others that you're under the pump. Just don't become a person that's all you focus on. Otherwise, you become like that, woe is me. And I'm always under the pump. And once this pressure's gone, I'm going to be so much better. Trust me, I'm 50. I don't think the pressure will ever go. It seems to be that just comes more and more pressure upon you to shape in you what God wants to draw out of you. Let's be people that are at least honest enough to acknowledge that we're pressured, but not just focus on the pressure. Number two is this, found in verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. When you're under the pump, remind yourself, I've been here before. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. Paul's reminding himself, Paul, you've been here before. You've saw it in your past, God deliver you, he's going to deliver you again. I mean, you think about pressure. Young David, 16 years of age, steps up. Goliath's there. The loser of this battle, the nation has to serve the other one. There's pressure on this young guy when he steps up, 16 years of age. And yet, what does David say? Well, God was with me when I faced a lion. God was with me when I faced a bear. And God's going to be with me when I face this big, ugly thing in front of me right now. So here's the thing. The pressure may change, but the promise stays true. And so for you this morning, the pressure may change. It may be a marriage. It may be a family member. It could be work. It could be health. The pressure changes, but you need to be encouraged this morning that the promise for your life doesn't change. God has made a promise to you and I that He will deliver us through whatever it is that we're walking through right now. We may all not always not get delivered from it, but He will always 100% deliver us through it. You've been here before. And I don't know what it is you're facing, but I guarantee this, although it may be a different pressure, you know God's promise for your life. You've been here before. I love the way Paul says here that He delivered us from such a deadly peril and He will deliver us. I mean, deadly peril. There is thinking sometimes that comes in the Christian circle that says this. You know, we see someone under pressure and we say things like, pat them on the back, don't worry, brother, God will never take you beyond anything that you can bear. We think we're being really nice, but do you know that what you're saying is actually not even in the Bible? It sounds good. What God said was He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. He didn't say He wouldn't stretch us beyond what we could bear. And I find this, Paul said this, that I was stretched, I was afflicted to the point of death. I find this with walking with God, that God, you know, it's not like God goes, oh, I think that's all He can bear. I'm going to back. I think God just goes, that's all we can bear. Let's just stretch you a little bit more. Because if it's what we could bear, why do we need God? It's in the unbearable part where God steps in our weakness, and His strength is seen. So understand this one, that God's in the business of stretching us beyond what we can bear, taking us beyond what we think is our limitations. We've all said it anymore and I'm going to crack. No, you're not, because that's the area, if we would allow it, that God will step in with His grace in our life. You've been here before. Number three is this one in verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we have received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Number three is this, it's not all about me. Yeah, I take this job of preaching up here very serious. We if you've been here with us for any amount of time, we never repeat a message. We always try and each week prep something new. So I take it very serious and feel the weight of it, and not wanting just to come and think, you know, I don't get up at 8:15 with a butt scratch going, oh, what am I going to do this morning? Let's just see. I'll just pull something old out. And, you know, you always come in up early and prepped and thinking about it all week. And yet I know for me, when the delivery side goes well and you feel like, yeah, look, people received it, you kind of go home feeling good. When you feel like there was a disconnect or you didn't deliver it real well, man, I go home and I beat myself up. I tie myself to an anthill and pour honey over myself and go, you know, that's my punishment. You know, it weighs on me because I don't want anyone to miss what God's got for them. And I know sometimes it doesn't always come out the right way, but this weight and all day, you know, I'll take my dog for a walk and kick him all the way around the park. And I'm just so frustrated at myself. And it actually takes me a day or two to get beyond it because I want to seize every opportunity. But on the flip side, here's what I've got to learn is that God isn't in heaven hinging everything on this message this morning. It's not like God's saying, Ross, if you blow this, my plan for the world is gone. My plan for humanity is gone. Don't blow it. I mean, God's not like saying, if this sermon doesn't connect, man, you know, I've got someone in here that's going to win Indonesia to the Lord, and it's all weighted on this sermon. If it doesn't connect, you've ruined my master plan. Sometimes I think we just got to chill out a little bit and go, you know what? In the end, this isn't about me. And we carry this pressure so much and we have a responsibility to carry it. But sometimes we carry it like, man, if I don't pull this off, then nothing ever's going to happen in my life. And yet I found this in my life. When I failed, God's there to pick me back up and dust me back off and get me walking again. this one more business deal, if I don't get it, I don't know what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. God will pick you back up. He'll dust you back off. And he'll say, come on, let's start walking again. And we carry this around like God, it's so much weight on us. And we've got to understand it's not about us. In our network of churches, every now and then, very rarely, but every now and then you have someone that says, well, I'm going to leave the network. But it's almost like this mindset that they think, well, when I leave, you watch what happens to this organization. It'll crumble without me. And it just keeps on going. We've had the founder of this organization leave and the thing just kept on going. And suddenly we realize it's not about me. I'm not the one that makes this thing turn. This is about Jesus. And this is about God's plan. And I think sometimes it's just good to breathe a little bit and go, hey, God, even if I drop the ball in the pressure, you've still got a plan for us. So I'm going to do my best, but if I drop it, it's not like the world is going to fall apart. And it just helps you breathe a little bit and enjoy who you are. And have a laugh at yourself. Have a laugh at what you're going through and walking through. Some of the best times in America when we're trying to pastor a church full of 50 miserable people that all they cared about were donuts. And we'd go home, and you know what we'd do? We'd watch reruns of Kath and Kim on TV and invite the occasional American over who would just sit there like, they just didn't get it. And we would be in tears laughing at Kath and Kim. Sometimes it's just good to have a laugh, even amongst the pressure. Number four, verse 11, you also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Number four, when you're under the pump, remind yourself you're not alone. You're not alone. Number one, there's a whole bunch of us under the pump, but you're not alone. Paul's writing here saying that help us by prayer. Get the saints praying for me. Get my life group praying for me. Get my band of brothers praying for me. Get those that I do life with praying for me. And it's important to understand when we're going through seasons of pressure, because pressure will want to try and isolate you. It'll want to make you feel like you're the only one. No one understands. But trust me, there's a whole bunch of people that know what it's like to walk through pressure. So don't isolate yourself. Don't be alone. Paul says here, it was the power of knowing that I could call upon people to pray for me that actually got me through this. You know, every Tuesday, there are prayer requests that get emailed out to lots of people in this church, four people in this church and other people, 10, 20, 30 sometimes prayer requests that are on this list that go out for people to pray. Every service will take time to pray. This Thursday night, we're going to meet at Tweed to pray for an hour and just pray for the needs of people. Pray for this city. Pray for our government. Something amazing happens when God's people pray. I was in the Solomon Islands this week, and while I was there, one of the guys I work with, he's in England, he rang me and said, you know, how's the conference going? I said, it's fantastic. And he said, let the Solomon Island people know that we're praying for them. And so I'm speaking there, and I said, oh, by the way, so-and-so just called me, and he said, to let you guys know that they're praying for us in England. You should have heard the roar go up from these Solomon Islanders. I mean, I say that here, and we go, But in the Solomon Islands, they're like, guys getting up, running around the building. They don't know what else to do if they're excited. They just run around the building. But it meant so much to know that people in England are praying for them. That's what it's like for Paul. Paul's saying here, it was the prayers of so many of you that I know walked me through this. You know, 1 Peter 5 says that the person that the devil will devour is the, because he's like a roaring lion, is the person that he can isolate. You watch any National Geographic program, and I've watched them all. You watch them. That the lion always goes for the little water buffalo caught in the mud. Mama, daddy. And mum and dad are saying, yeah, sucks to be you. We're out of here. And you see him stuck in the water there, and your kids are watching. They got tears, and they're hoping for a Walt Disney end, but you know it's going to be like a Nightmare on Elm Street ending. And the lion always isolates it. He always goes for the animal that's sick. Always goes for the one that's the smallest. He doesn't go for the big guy that's in the pack. And we got to understand that when it comes to pressure. Pressure will try and isolate you. It will try and make you feel like, man, am I the only one that's going through this? And not realizing that there's lots of people walking through pressure. Maybe different pressure, but they're still walking through it. Don't isolate yourself. We need one another. The prayers of others are what got Paul through in this season. And number five is simply this. Remind yourself that I'm better under pressure. Yeah, that's about the response we've got all morning. I'm better under pressure. God does his best work in my life under pressure. You got Moses, Egypt, millions of Israelites looking for a way out. What does God do? Let's put Moses under pressure with Pharaoh to bring out the best. I got my love for Daniel. Well, the musicians come. I love my servant Daniel. How am I going to get the best out of Daniel? I know. Let's put him in a lion's den for a bit of time. Pressure. What am I going to do to bring out the golden Joseph? I'm going to put him in prison for 15 years. Pressure. What am I going to do with my own son, Jesus, to bring about decisions that will shape the rest of mankind forever? In the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm going to put him under pressure. The Bible says that as he prayed, and the word Gethsemane, by the way, means olive press. It was God's pressing field. It was a place that they crushed olives to get the oil released. And Jesus is bowing in Gethsemane saying, Lord, I don't want to go to this crucifixion, but not my will, but your will be done. The Bible says such was the pressure upon his life that he sweated drops of blood. Pressure. And yet from that place gave birth to the plan of eternal salvation. Pressure. I've discovered this. I'm better under pressure. I don't want pressure. I don't run toward it, but I know that I'm better because of it. Because there's stuff inside of me that the only way God can get it out is to put a bit of pressure on me. And so in your life, there is some stuff in you that God has deposited in your life. And like a great personal trainer, he will come. I've never seen a personal trainer yet that doesn't push you to the limits of vomiting. The minute you're going, oh, it hurts, he doesn't go, oh, really? I'm so sorry that it hurt. I didn't realize it would hurt. Come on, let me rub your muscles down. I mean, the personal trainer just goes, oh, it hurts? Awesome, let's put a little bit more weight on then. Oh, you feel like vomiting? Here's a bucket, then come back and we're going to do some more push-ups. They take us beyond. But sometimes when it comes to Christian living, man, we want to shrink back all the time. It's like, oh no, it's a little bit dangerous. It's a little bit pressured. I feel like I'm getting stretched. I feel like, it's hurting a little bit. That's where God does his best work. You work better under pressure. And I don't know what it is that you're facing right now. I don't know what it is that's come knocking on your door saying, hey, uninvited, here I am. But I know this, that God never wastes a hurt. And although pressure has many faces, God still wants to weave it into his perfect plan to bring about good in your life. And it's my prayer in this place, because I believe in this place that there are people of great faith. And there are people right now of little faith that God is bringing you on the journey of great faith. And it's my prayer as we, as a church, individuals, undergo this stretch that God wants to do, that we understand that we embrace resistance training. Because it's the only way to develop what God has placed in you. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this morning. I thank you for this congregation. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I know that there's a stretch. It's not nice. It's painful. It hurts. But Father, I pray this morning that there would be an embrace in this place, that we would understand that we are better because of pressure. And you love us so much that you will not allow what you've deposited in our lives to stay stagnant. God, you want to bring it about. You want to stretch us to see what's inside of us, to bring out the gold that resides within us.